Well, it has. It's been a big week for me, and it's actually been a big couple of weeks for me. As you may know, if you've been here, I am taking the gifts that God has given me into a brand new arena. And the thing about it that I find kind of challenging is, no matter what, I can't get the media to say my name right. And I think to explain it, it's probably best to just show you a picture. Had to have a little fun with that one. Now, if you're not a hockey fan, that makes no sense to you, other than my name. But the Minnesota Wild, our state's hockey team, has acquired some brand new talent. And it's very exciting as a hockey fan in the state. And one of the guys that they brought in is named Ryan Suter. Sounds a lot like Brian. And so now I'm never going to be able to watch a hockey game with the Wild involved the same way ever again. But the Suter boys, young Everett and myself, we will be rocking number 20 jerseys in this fall and winter as we cheer on some guy that's not even related to me, but just sounds a lot like me. But anyway, in all seriousness, to start my new role in community life and learning is an incredible honor and gift and privilege. And what I'll be responsible for is to lead spiritual growth here at Westwood. And really, I find that a journey that I'm going to join you in as we all seek to become more like Christ. And I think tonight is a part of that. We are in the series, as Rebecca has said, called Promise Apps. And I want to invite you to take your teaching notes out, if that'd be helpful for you. If you want to take notes and grab something that will help you throughout the next week, please feel free to do that. The premise of this series is that we're all familiar with promises, that we see promises made and we see them broken. We ourselves make promises and we ourselves break those promises. But throughout thousands of years, God has remained faithful to his promises. He stayed true to them. It started with his nation, Israel, through Abraham. And as Paul writes in Galatians 3:16, it was through Christ that God intended to fulfill the promises that he made to Abraham. And so through Jesus, God's promises, which are rock solid, are available for you and me to live in, if we should choose to. And so tonight, I feel awesome for another reason. And one of the reasons why is, for the very first time, I'm speaking from my iPad. And I had a professor in seminary that led some preaching courses and kept pushing me, try the iPad, try the iPad. I figured, hey, what better chance to do that for the first time than to promise apps in that series? So this iPad, when we bought it, had a series of apps that were pre-installed. Things like Mail, Safari as a web browser, Maps, and FaceTime. But then we downloaded some apps on here, including Facebook, Twitter, Pandora, and when I have a moment in which I'm bored, Tiger Woods Golf. And the metaphor that we're going with, if you will, is that we, as God's created beings, his beloved children, we are God's devices, if you will. And these apps that God has promised to us are installed within us when we are created by him. And we can live fully operational in them through our faith in Jesus Christ. We've talked 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mark Bendel led us through God's Mercy app. Last week, Dave Troutman spoke about God's Guidance app, and today I drew two. And I've always kind of in the attitude, the more the merrier. So we've got a lot of ground to cover. I want to invite you to hang in there with me as we go through two, joy and faithfulness. We're going to start with joy. Do you know that the life in Christ, pursuing following Jesus to the best of our abilities, is a journey that is described as one of inexpressible and glorious joy? In 1 Peter 1:8, it reads, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You know, I think joy in and of itself is pretty extraordinary, but a joy that is so good that you can't quite put words to it, and so glorious that it fills your every need and shines to the world that is watching you. Man, that's next level stuff to me. And I think it would be really helpful for us to do a little bit of definition. And when we do definition of English terms, we use a very reliable source called dictionary.com. And so joy in the English language is defined as the experience of great delight or happiness that is caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. And another word which would be helpful for us is happiness. Happiness is defined as the quality or state of being happy based on good fortune or pleasure. And so as I'm thinking about these definitions, I'm left really unfulfilled, to be quite honest with you. Because as we look at it in the English language, if the only difference between happiness and joy is the word great, I'm left wanting a little bit more. That's essentially what it is. No matter what is, we define it as human beings. Joy is something that is based on circumstances that's either great or just mediocre, I guess. But there's more. There has to be. And it's not a joy that's dependent upon circumstances. The definition of joy that we rally around as followers of Jesus shows up in the New Testament 59 times. And it's so much bigger than great happiness. It's bigger than circumstances, which means that no matter how good or how bad the experience of our lives is that we walk into this room with, we can live, it is possible to live with this kind of joy. In fact, a good amount of the times that joy is mentioned in the scriptures, it's in the context of suffering. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the suffering of the cross." And then probably the single most passage of scripture that messes with my head more than anything else is out of James chapter 1, where it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." Sounds like a great invitation on the surface. But what this tells me is that there's something that's critically different about the way that God defines joy as we define it. It's a joy that's based, I think, in eternity. And that's the only way that I think it's bigger. And so what I want to do is I want to invite you into the same question that I've been asking myself all week long. And that is the life that you're living right now one that is defined by an inexpressible and glorious joy? Is that our life experience? To be honest with you, I find joy pretty hard. And I find it way easier to be joyless, to be crabby. A few months ago, I think I realized this about myself in a fashion that maybe was more clear than any other time in my life. My margins were paper thin. I was completing seminary. The demands of my student ministry role were really high. And then I was beginning to move into this new role. And it just seemed like around every corner, there was another thing to do and another mountain to just climb and accomplish. And what I realized is that I had drifted from this call in my life. And I got frustrated at interruptions from what I thought was most important. And I found things that I should have been taking joy in inconvenient. And a majority of the thoughts that crossed my head and escaped my mouth were more negative than they were positive. And my guess is tonight that a majority of us in this room probably have this same relative drift as well. We might find it easier to be joyless than joy-filled. Circumstances and inconveniences can get the best of us, whether it be circumstances at work or school or in friendships. Maybe if we're parents, our kids, maybe teenagers, maybe adult children are behaving sideways on us. Maybe some relationships get strained. We get negative because I think this is the easy way. But tonight as I say that, I'm inspired by some people that I've encountered throughout my life that have every reason to be joyless, but are rallying around the call of God in their life to experience this inexpressible and glorious joy. I think about a tiny little group of Jesus followers in a church in Juarez, Mexico, that I had the privilege of worshiping with in the spring of 1999 while I was there to help and serve. And I'll never forget that experience because this was a group of people that literally had nothing. But yet they knew that God was their source. And they took joy in that regardless of whether or not they were going back to any possessions, food, whatever it will be. I also think about people that I've encountered and heard stories of who are facing life-threatening illnesses that know beyond the measure of a doubt that every moment is a gift from God to be treasured, to be lived in all of its fullness. And tonight on another level, I'm inspired by Bo. Because here's a guy who grew up void of any context of understanding of God's love, but came here into the context of Shugan Blair's home. And the lights went on. And now, as you saw, he is living in that inexpressible and glorious joy. And Bo, I'm inspired by you. And I'm so grateful that you spent this weekend with us and shared your story, because all over this church called Westwood are people that are inspired because of what you have allowed God to do within your heart and soul. And we look forward all to what's going to happen with you, my friend. But we have reason, here it is, we have reason to be inexpressibly and gloriously joy-filled because of this reality, that no matter what is going on in or around me or us in our lives, whether it's good or bad, easy or hard, beautiful or pain-laden, I have this moment before me as a gift from God. And the God of this universe is actively at work in my life. And no matter what, my eternity, what happens to me when I leave this earth, is a settled fact through faith in Jesus. And there is nothing in this world that has the power to take that away. And that is something to be inexpressibly and gloriously joy-filled about. And so maybe for some of us in the room tonight, your job of listening to me is done. And that could be the best thing that you remind yourself and refresh your mind and your heart about, are those settled facts that this is a moment that is a gift from God, that God is active in my life, and that no matter what, my eternity is settled. But all of us need to be active in refreshing what joy means in our lives. And if we're going with the metaphor, it's about updating the joy app. What means to grow in faith and become more like Jesus is to update ourselves in the promises that God has made. See, there's a critical difference about the devices that we're given, whether you have an iPhone or an Android phone or an iPad or whatever smartphone you might have. There's apps on these devices. And every once in a while, the app developers themselves will either find a flaw in the app and they'll change it, or they'll find a whole new way to work this thing. And what they'll do is they'll send you an update and you push the button and it hijacks your phone for like 20 minutes. And then when it's fully downloaded, you live new and operationally. But the critical difference that we have to understand about God's promise apps, every app that we're talking about this summer, is that God's promise apps are perfect. They're strong, they're sure, and they don't need updating. What needs updating is me and my ability to receive from God all that he will have to give us. Joy, in the sense of what the scriptures tell us, is not something that we can manufacture on our own ability alone. In other words, we can't just simply try harder to be more happy and joyful as a result of attempting heroic effort. Joy is something that is constantly and readily accessible to us from God. But yet it is something that we have to choose and give effort to in order to choose it. But our joyfulness, the starting place of understanding the way that God's joy works in your life, is knowing first and foremost that he's the supplier of it. And he'll give it to you. And so what I want to invite you to do this week, today, this evening, is to choose joy. To choose joy. And work at it in a way that it is responsible for you to do so, to become a more joy-filled person. And I want to give you two suggestions of how we can update our joy app. The first is to follow Jesus' commands, or obey his commands. You know, as it is in the scriptures, it says this about joy over and over again. There's this rhythm where if God says, make my joy complete, by obeying my commands, and then your joy will be complete. It's inseparable from this word. In John 15:11, Jesus says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. Anytime that we read an isolated passage of scripture like this and we hear the word this, the best question to ask is, what is that? And in John chapter 15, Jesus is in this rhythm where he's telling his disciples that if you remain in me, I'm going to remain in you and you're going to bear much fruit. And in order to remain in me, I want you to follow my commands. And my commands is to love one another as I've loved you. The directive from God through Jesus to love one another is the blanket command that envelops all of the things that God invites us to be about in our lives. The question that we have to ask is, are we doing this? Maybe the reason why we might struggle with joy is perhaps we're not living in the directive of God. Maybe for some of us in the room, we're on a journey to understand what faith really means. And if you are here in that capacity, I'm so glad that you're here. And I pray that Westwood is a place that you'll be able to figure that out, like Bo did, where you come to a place of understanding that the love of God is so good that you just can't not have it. and release your hands from the steering wheel of your life and allow God to be your Lord and your Savior and lead you. Maybe even tonight is your night. If you hear the voice of God nudging at your heart, listen. Or perhaps we get into seasons of rebellion in terms of our followership of Him. We disregard again and again the commands of God, and I'm talking in terms of repetitive, unrepentant, and blatant sin. We've all had these seasons. I've had mine. I'm sure that you've had yours. But tonight, if you might find yourself here, the invitation from Jesus is to turn, to remember whose you are, and remember that it is in following the directives of God that even though they might seem inconvenient and difficult in the moment, it's always worth it. And as a result of choosing this way, you will receive more and more and more joy and blessing than you ever thought possible. Follow Jesus' commands. The second way to update your joy app is the act of celebration. And what I mean by that is to regularly celebrate God. It's a spiritual discipline that's going to help you grow in your followership of Jesus. John Ortberg calls celebration training for joy. To celebrate means that I enjoy the goodness of creation and life by giving gratitude to God. So tonight, as you leave, if you might see a beautiful sunset, it's not about looking at it and thinking that it's great and continuing to walk, but what it might look like for you is stopping in your tracks, taking that moment in, and then remembering that it is God that painted that and has set up the world to look in that way and to give honor and glory to Him and great gratitude to Him. It's allowing space in your days and moments to recognize that this is a moment from God, and it's a joy-choosing moment that's before you. So here's my experience of attempting this week. First of all, I have to ask and start with a question. If you would normally travel east on Highway 5 from the Victoria, Waconia, general direction, would you just raise your hand real briefly? I'd like to see where my friends are at from this area. God bless every one of you. Last night, to come to the 5 o'clock Saturday service, it took me a half an hour, and it usually takes 8. Now, if you know anything about me, you understand that I find traffic very inconvenient. Anything behind the wheel of a car, like red lights, detours, I don't like those. And on Monday morning, I had my son Everett in the car with me, and we're starting to get into downtown Victoria in that detour, and I get to the flaggers, and he gives me a stop. I want to slow. And I'm starting to kind of feel my temperature go up a little bit. And I remember, this is a moment from God. And so in a not cheesy, not forced, not contrived way, I roll the windows down. And I put in a worship CD. And my son Everett and I sang, "Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never gives up on me." And it was a beautiful moment that I shared with my son that I'm never going to forget. On Tuesday afternoon, I went to pick up Everett from the daycare that we have him at. And two or three of his buddies in Everett were surrounding this bucket. And they were pouring every part of their being into this bucket and giving their attention to whatever was going on in there. And normally when I go to pick him up, I'm kind of like, "Captain, let's go. We got to go to the grocery store. We got to get some stuff because we all know what happens, buddy, when you don't go to bed on time." So I stop and I remember in that moment that this is a moment that is given to me by the Most High God. And so I got interested and I looked in the bucket, and in this bucket was a frog. And Everett and his buddies had practiced the gift of hospitality to this frog, and they filled it with grass and they gave him a stick, and then they had this little container full of water, and the frog was in there probably panicked to its core. But for a moment, I watched as these boys just came alive in a brand new way. And I watched as my son's eyes lit up about this frog. And then I remembered that this is a created being that God has made. I don't know why. But this thing has life because God gave it to it. And this was a moment that I celebrated. Yesterday morning, my wife, Courtney, and Everett were subject to me vacuuming the house and singing country songs at the top of my lungs for at least an hour and a half. And it was a moment for me that I remembered, I'm vacuuming the house, and that's a gift from God. And so that was the only way that I could express my gratitude to Him, was to sing things that... Yeah. So Celebrate, my friends. This week, train for joy. This week, be faithful to God's directive in your life. And you will begin to know more and more and live out and understand and experience higher levels of this inexpressible and glorious joy. And you're going to love it. The next step is faithfulness. Question that I want to start with here is, what comes to mind when you hear the word faithful? What comes to mind for you? For me, it's a tension-filled word because we've experienced life, every one of us in this room, where we have been faithful to others and God, but we haven't been unfaithful to others and God. And we've experienced that same thing coming our direction as well. And our definition of faithful or faithfulness, I don't think is adequate. We need a new one. And one of the most critical reasons why I find this need for us is because as human beings, whether we are aware of it or not, we are prone to project our experience of our life onto God and believe the same thing that we experience is true about Him. So for example, if we experience an example of unfaithfulness in our life, we might be tempted to believe that the same thing is true unless we hear from God directly. And so what I want to do with you tonight is go through two passages of Scripture where this promise from God explodes off of the page. And I pray that it will remind you that God is active and faithful in your life. Because God is faithful. He keeps His promises always. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God is in the process of speaking to His people through Moses. And He starts to say some things through Moses like, I want to remind you that I didn't set my heart on you and give you my best blessing because you were the biggest nation. Because in fact, you were actually the smallest. And really, it wasn't anything special about you, but it was simply because I loved you. And I am a God who keeps His oaths that I gave to your ancestors. And by the way, it's because I loved you that I rescued you from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. And then here comes the promise in verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations to those who love Him and keep His commandments. So here's God's definition of faithfulness. He's not a faithful God. He is the faithful God. He defines the word faithful. And He's faithful to us because He loves us. And that is simply true alone. And He's a God that keeps His promises, and it's simply because He loves you and He loves me that we were rescued from the oppression of sin and death by the work of Jesus. And my friends, some of you I know in this room are really in need of this tonight. God is faithful to you because He loves you, just as you are, just as you walked in this room. And He's faithful to you because He's a God that fulfills His promises to thousands of years of generations of people. In this moment, you and I are receiving meritless faithfulness from God because He loves us that deeply. And this is good news. God is faithful. And He keeps His promises always. It wouldn't have to get better, but it does. Because God is faithful to us even in spite of us. In the context of Isaiah 54, we pick up this nation's story again in the words of Isaiah. And it's true about God's people. And the one thing that was consistent was their unfaithfulness. And in every way, God's patience had been tested. Yet through His everlasting kindness, God brought them back to Him again. And for us, by being faithful to God's commands and living in the ways that He invites us to, as we heard in joy, we experience the promise. But no matter what, even when we don't hold up our end of the bargain, God is still faithful to you and to me. Today, you might have come in this room in a place of incessantly beating yourself up for not measuring up. And if that's you, you need to hear this good news tonight. In verse 10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Now, this scripture is significant for a number of reasons, but any time that we hear the word mountain used as Minnesotans, it's very appropriate that we get a context for that. So I have a picture I want to share with you that was taken a couple weeks ago. as I did my seventh and final high school ministry trip to Colorado. This was taken in Buena Vista, Colorado, and the camp that we stay at is called Silver Cliff Ranch, and it's a tiny little dot speck on the lower left-hand side of that mountain range right there. I'm taking that picture 6 miles away from the base of that mountain, and I'm standing at 8,500 feet in elevation above sea level. And the middle peak under the word compassion is called Mount Princeton. And Mount Princeton stands at over 14,000 feet. One of my joys of 7 years of doing this trip, and I see some of you in the room who went this last year and beyond, is watching the eyes of a student who's never seen the mountains before. Because as they feast their eyes upon those mountains, there's this unbelievably unnamed recognition of how big God is. And how real he is. And how faithful he is. Now, I want you to go into the scripture with me and think about this. This would be like us standing at the base of this mountain. And out of nowhere, with no explanation, that mountain violently shaking and completely disappearing. The bottom line that we know is that that's just not going to happen. And what God is saying through the emphasis of that word mountain in scripture is that my promises are even more sure than the mountains that you see. That's the reality that we live in tonight. And then he says, and the hills be removed. My covenant of peace would never be removed. We all know that moving a hill is a huge undertaking. It's just not going to happen. And then to add emphasis to who God is, to go back to the first week of this series in the Mercy app, he says, I have compassion on you. This is the spirit of which this is said to us through faith in Jesus. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Always. Would you say that with me out loud? God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Always. There's two ways that I want to invite you to update the Faithfulness app. And the first is that kind of pesky deal again, to love God and obey his commands. We saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Those who love me and obey my commands will experience this promise in full. And here's what it boils down to. As we've just heard, God's faithfulness to you and his posture towards you really doesn't depend on your performance. It's always there. However, when we give effort to this, earnest effort to follow after the commands of God, the invitations of God, no matter how hard they are, no matter how inconvenient they might be, no matter how much pain there might be in that for us, we will experience more of the faithfulness than we ever imagined possible. So my invitation for some of us in this room is this week, give your best energy to living faithfully to God in everything that happens this week. In every decision that you have to make, in every moment that you have. Because if you are, you'll experience God's faithfulness, and there will be joy in that for you that you might not even be able to name. The second way that you can update this faithfulness app is to actively increase your awareness of God's faithfulness. Now, in a room this size, I'm making a probably pretty solid guess tonight that there are some of us in this room that have walked in who struggle to see right now the faithfulness of God. Maybe you're going through a tough situation. I don't know what it is, but God does. And I can promise you that he's involved in that. And if I may, on your behalf tonight, say with conviction and authority that God is faithful to you, even though you might not see it. Because this is a promise that is sure as the mountains that you live in tonight, regardless of wherever you may be at with him. And so tonight, if you're in a season where you might be struggling through seeing the faithfulness of God, I want to give you a real practical step that you can take in this next week. What I'd like you to do is on your way home tonight, don't wait even past tonight, stop by Target. They have the school supplies out already. It's brutal. And what I want you to do is I want you to pick up a notebook, and I want you to begin to journal if you don't. And what I'd like to invite you to do is to take 2 pages per day on that journal And on the first page, I'd like to invite you to write your experience of your day and where you believe God was in that day for you, or where you need him to show up the most. And then on the second page, what I'd like to invite you to do is write out word for word a prayer that you want to express to God that includes all of your needs in it, remembering that as we are grateful to him, that he inspires us towards understanding him more. And then pray that prayer that you write down. And it's not going to be in a week. It's not going to be in 2 weeks. It may not even be in a month. But in 6 months, in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, I can guarantee you that you will see the faithful hand of God active and alive in your life in ways that you never imagined. Hindsight's always 20/20. And even on the journey with Christ, we see him more clearly active and alive in our lives when we actively record what is going on and how he's showing up. It involves some effort, but it's worth it. Tonight, God's faithfulness app for us is complete. And it's full. And it's available. God's joy app, in all of its fullness, beyond our ability to put words to it, is complete. And it's full. And it's available to you. It's me that needs the updating. And in every moment, God gives me and he gives you invitations to update. My prayer for you is that you will take one thing from this out there and live more fully alive in Christ than you have leading up to this moment. The band's going to come and sing that song that we heard during the offertory. And what I'd like to invite us to do is to use this song as an opportunity wherever we may be at to be reminded once again that God is faithful, that we can take joy in him, and express our gratitude and worship to him as well. Would you join me in prayer? Father, tonight we have joy available to us because you are faithful and we worship you. As we sing, ignite our hearts for you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and sing with us?